It's time to get Grooverized. Listen, I've done it. Relax. It only hurts for a while.
You hear an awful lot about income disparity and the rich getting richer. Of course, I've heard that my entire life. The rich are always getting richer. You know, the rich have been getting richer my entire life. The poor have been getting poorer my entire life, which isn't exactly true. Poverty has remained about the same my entire life. Even though they continue to raise the poverty level, it's remained about the same, somewhere between 12 and 14% in America. Not exactly true that the poor get poor, but the rich do pay the majority of taxes. My good friend Grover Norquist here, the president of Americans for Tax Reform. Grover, welcome back. Good to have you here, Grover, as always. As you look at the taxes here, the majority of taxes paid by 3% of the people making the big money, right?
Well, yes. On the federal income tax, it's extremely what they call progressive. The top half of income earners pay 97% of just about all taxes, and the bottom on income taxes are not net contributors on income taxes. The good news for those of us who want to reduce taxes on everyone is that lower-income people do not look in the mirror and say, I don't pay taxes, because they're very aware of their property taxes, of their sales taxes, of excise taxes. A lot of the excise taxes that our liberal friends like to put in particularly hit lower-income people on tobacco and beer and other the kind of taxes, vaping now, and telephone usage, on energy usage. So the left hides a lot of its taxes that hit lower-income people because they really want the money more than helping anybody. But all citizens can be allies in the fight for reducing everybody's taxes. But it is a particularly dishonest statement of the left to say that somehow higher-income people aren't paying their fair share. They're paying much more than their fair share if everybody is paying the same percentage of their income. Yes, there are deductions and credits. A lot of those were eliminated with the Republican tax reform when Reagan did it, and then they crept back in, and then we got rid of them again this time. So we can continue to bring rates down and broaden the base, but we really just need lower taxes on everyone. And the game the left plays is, oh, let's not cut your taxes. See that guy over there? Let's tax him.
Well, you know what's interesting? Here's what's interesting. Every time there's a tax cut, and the same is true right now, despite the fact that the economy is humming along very nicely in so many sectors, and we have so many jobs available, and income is going up, despite all of that, the debt is going up. And so the Democrats see that tax cut, we raise the debt by giving people their money back. And to me, that's always just ludicrous. Right now, we're setting all-time records for the amount of money going into the Treasury. I'm sure you know that. But we continue to spend at a record pace because we never slow down in spending. And that's true of Democrats and Republicans. They're all responsible here. But the notion that somehow we blew up the debt by letting people have some of their own money back, I think is absurd. Your thoughts?
Well, it's also not true. And the government's own statistics show it. Taxes are up this year over last year, income taxes, even after the tax cut. The government's getting more money than they did last year. Not as much as they wanted, but more than they got last year. And spending's up about $100 billion. That was the deal that McCain made to increase the defense budget. The Democrats said, we'll only spend money on defense and our soldiers if you give us money for our welfare systems and our various giveaway programs. And so to get a dollar into defense, you had to spend $2 in spending. So the deficit this year over last year went up about $100 billion. Spending went up $100 billion, and taxes went up a little bit. So it is all spending. The increase in the deficit is all spending, not taxes.
Yeah, there you go.
What one of the things that is interesting is the CBO, Congressional Budget Office. Our friends on the left like to drag that out whenever CBO says something like the economy doesn't grow with tax cuts. As soon as the tax bill passed, they came out with a new study, and their predictions about revenue every year into the future for 10 years, they increased it by $1 trillion. They had to admit that because of the growth from the tax cut, the government would get $1 trillion in the next decade, more than they were expecting to. Now, CBO told us that the cost of the tax bill in the next 10 years was $150 billion. So when people say, can you, through economic growth, quote-unquote, pay for a tax cut, CBO, months into the tax cut, admits two-thirds of it, and it'll be more than that, but two-thirds
so let me ask
of
you
it
this.
Now they're willing to admit.
Because you've identified the problem,
paid by higher taxes.
Yeah, you've identified the problem very well, and that's right. We have a spending issue. We continue to bring in record amounts of money into the Treasury. I mean, truckloads of money, obscene amounts of money, frankly. And so then I see the president this week sit down with the cabinet and do something remarkable, do something I have never seen before. He looked at everybody in the room and said, I need you all to cut 5% out of your budgets for next year. I mean, he says, I've heard about this penny plan. If you cut a penny out of each dollar for a number of years, the country's in great shape. He goes, I want five pennies. I want 5% cut out of each and every one of your budgets. How significant is that, even from a point of view of, hey, I've never seen this before. It's a different attitude. It's a different approach. Hey, cut your spending. You got 5%. You can get rid of the fat. How big a deal is that to you?
Well, I think you pointed exactly the key thing. This is big because it's a fair amount of money, okay? It's not as much money as reforming welfare or getting rid of Obamacare, but it's a good deal of money. But more than that, if you simply get people in the public sector, in the federal government, to think, you know, I could spend a little less, and how would I do it? They never ask themselves that question. I've never heard bureaucrats going, well, we're sitting here trying to figure out how to save money for taxpayers. All you hear from them is whining about why they need more of your money. And back up, every industry in America, every farm, every store, every factory spends as much time figuring out how to keep costs down as they do about how to increase sales.
That's right.
There's two ways to make more money. Spend less, sell more. And getting the government to think about that, maybe we get 2.5 or 3. Maybe we don't get 5, okay?
Mm.
Maybe the Democrats don't let you do any of it. But even the process of coming up with a thought exercise, and then in the future, it's going to be much more difficult for the left to say, you can't save money, because they said, no, actually, we identified all of this, and the Democrats in the Senate would only let us do part of it.
You know, and then on the other side of that, you got Kamala Harris saying, hey, maybe we should have a plan if a family's making less than $100,000 a year or an individual less than $50,000 a year, we'll give them $500 each per month, $6,000 a year. I'll give you the last word on that.
Well, you know, handing out money as if it was free, that you didn't have to first take it by force from somebody else, is, you know, is something that teenagers think about. This is not something that adults work on. Sadly, this is somebody trying to get in the newspapers, and she did, and we're talking about it now. If the Democrats take over, though, if they win the House and Senate, this is the thinking that will lead to massive increases in spending. And I've seen somewhere somebody claim that what she had was a tax cut, because I think she wants to make it a refundable tax cut, meaning even if you don't pay any taxes, you get a check. That's called spending.
Yeah, no matter how you look at it, that's called spending. Grover Norquist, always an education. Greatly appreciate you being here, always. Americans for Tax Reform, Grover Norquist, great contributor here to the program. Grover, have a great weekend.
You got it. Take care.
There you have it. Good guy, right? And still to come today, Steve Doolin, Corey Lewandowski, and don't forget, coming up Monday, my exclusive interview with Steve Bannon here on the program.
Michigan residents are targeted for identity theft more often than the rest of the country. It's a fact. But did you know the Michigan Chamber has an identity theft protection solution designed to help Michigan Chamber members and their employees? It's true. And it's the best data protection you can get today. There are only two kinds of people: those that have had their data stolen and those that will. The Michigan Chamber is here to help you defend yourself and your employees from getting robbed. Go to stevegruber.com. Click on the Michigan Chamber logo to learn more and get started. Protect yourself with the Michigan Chamber Identity Theft Protection Solution.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
Okay, here goes. I know more about cooking dinner for a party of 12 than I do about packing a lunch for a 12-year-old. I know kids like things like PB&J, pigs in a blanket. Oh, and fish sticks. They do love fish sticks. Filets I get, but sticks? What part of the fish does the stick come from? I know I can read a cookbook that'll tell me how to make a red wine reduction. But where are the cookbooks that can teach me how to cut the crusts off bologna sandwiches? Oh, maybe we can compromise on mac and cheese. Can you make that with brie? Everybody likes brie, right?
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to push your food around their plate. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Would your business survive a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency, and 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now, before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.